Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
He is on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. He is Richard Deitch. He is with us today, writes for The Athletic, podcast, all kinds of good stuff. Hi, Richard. How are you?
Hey, Richard.
Hey, guys. Thanks for the hype job. It really just means I'm old, basically. You've been reading it for a long time.
You're not older than us, so you're good.
Congratulations.
Maybe you're in the same ballpark. It might be. Hey, let me ask you, first of all, did you stop doing Twitter in February?
Yeah, you know, people, I mean, you know, I'm pretty self-aware at this stuff, but I will say the times that I've done radio interviews, people always ask me about this, which is kind of interesting. But in short, in February, long before Elon Musk, by the way, was buying Twitter,
right.
I decided that just, I had been on that service for, like, I'm sure you guys and many others, 12, 13 years, you know, longer than your average American marriage.
Right.
And so I had just been doing it a long time. It was all consuming. I stayed on it for, you know, reasons that everybody else did, addiction, affirmation, great place to, you know, push my stuff. And I really just wanted to just take a break and sort of see, like, okay, what will life be like if I sort of step away from this? What will my, you know, how will my mental health be? How will my mood be? You know, how does it affect my, how does it affect people reading me? You know, how many readers will I lose, kind of thing. And so, yeah, I've been off it for 3 months. It's very weird. On the one hand, I'd be very blunt with your audience. I'm just not as pissed off.
I was going to ask you straight out, does food taste better when you're not on Twitter?
I mean, mentally, it does. The reality is, and, you know, ultimately social media is certainly a bubble in many ways, but it really sort of reinforces, I feel like, the worst and best of us.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I'm not as, like, angry at, like, something I see in the morning. Every morning, usually not even about sports, by the way, about non-sports stuff. At the same time, it's hard because I feel disconnected. And like when something big is going on, or like there's a big sporting event going on, you know, and I have like something I'd like to say, or like I have a thought. I miss that. I miss sort of having a forum where I can do that. So I think I'm gonna eventually go back on, but I'm not sure when. And I would say just for anybody who's in your audience, like. I'm just a very small little sliver of this. Like, there's value in just stepping away for a little bit. That's one thing I can promise you, especially if you're under 35 years old and you grew up on social media. Like, there's some real value in just sort of stepping away and realizing, like, there is a world outside of this place. You might not think there is, and social media is very all-consuming, but the reality is there is. So that's my five-second filibuster on that.
Oh, no, nothing. My life changed when I found the mute button. Everything changed after I found that mute button.
I hear you. Yeah, block button too. I used to, for many, many years, like, I used to think it was like, you know, I sort of played into that journalistic creed, you know, you're not supposed to block anybody. You know, everybody should have access to you. But then I'm like, I forgot who told me this, but like, I sort of just looked at it a different way. I'm like, would you allow somebody like to walk into your house and like scream at you, curse at you, or just like make you uncomfortable? And the reality is like, no, I would not do that.
So unless you were making money on it, no.
Yeah, yeah. Think of social media in the same way. Like, you should, you know, there should be a, you know, you don't want to live your life around bleep holes. Let's just be honest.
Amen, brother.
And no one should. And that's where, like, these functions have it. I would just lastly say, because I got to be realistic here, whatever kind of annoyance that I get, it is nothing compared to women in the sports media business. It's nothing probably compared to very famous people who probably just have to deal with this stuff on an, like, hourly basis. And I would think if you're like in your 20s, still trying to figure yourself out, and you're getting all this vitriol, that has to just screw with your head. That is just not healthy.
Richard Deitch is joining us. And Richard, I'm thrilled that you're with us because I've been thinking about you ever since the football announcer roulette started at the network level. And look, I've worked in this for a long time. done games, worked with telecasts and everything else. I get it. You get it. We all get it. Those jobs, people are going to watch games regardless of who's calling them, although these guys are very valuable. I'm stunned at the dollars being thrown around and the recruiting that's been going on with some of the big-name guys. And, you know, Joe Buck, Troy Aikman getting big money. Tirico's in. Al Michaels, you know, going with Amazon. Herb Street's in. I mean, and of course, Tom Brady finishes it off. Is it stunning to you, or is it like you thought this was coming?
Both. In many ways, it is stunning. The sheer amount of turnover and sort of silly circus. It's what they call the NASCAR offseason when all the drivers change cars. That stunned me. I mean, who could have anticipated this kind of movement? Who could have anticipated that ESPN was going to end up with Fox's booth? Who could have anticipated Tom Brady would actually sign a contract with Fox and be a broadcaster? So that stunned me, particularly the Brady move did. The numbers are large, and I think if you're a fan and you look at this stuff and you say, oh my God, like Troy Aikman's being paid $18 million a year, you know, that's more than the third starting pitcher in my favorite baseball team. Or Tom Brady's getting a reported $37.5 million annually. I mean, that's crazy numbers. What I would say sort of very, very simply is this. In media, like in business and everywhere else, you are worth what they'll pay you. You are worth whatever leverage you have. And in the case of Brady, he had all the leverage. In the case of Aikman, ESPN has been wanting to fix their booth for a long, long time. So he had leverage in terms of movement. So the numbers are insane for sure in broadcasting, but always keep in mind that these mega corporations, Fox Corp, ESPN, which is, you know, / Disney, NBC and Comcast, CBS and Viacom, that kind of money is a rounding error to them. These companies paid billions of dollars for NFL rights. So by paying Tony Romo $18 million a year, well, listen, it is a massive amount to your average Joe like myself. For a corporation like Viacom CBS, it is honestly the equivalent for them of going to Starbucks and buying a latte. Like, that's what that salary is. And then the question is return on investment. Can you make the return on investment? The reality is, no, you can't. You never. Tony Romo's not worth $18 million given what he does, but CBS has put a value on, we want to have the best possible production we have. What is that worth in terms of advertising buying into us? What is that worth in terms of our viewers being satisfied with their broadcast? And that's when you start playing this like star game, because a lot of these networks think that the larger the name, the better the broadcast, obviously, the more you will associate that brand with a quality production.
Richard, I was thinking the conversation I want to have with you today was about gambling and, you know, spreading out the NFL week, especially, you know, Florio had a story like a week ago talking about maybe perhaps even a Friday afternoon game on top of, you know, multiple games on Monday night that we're already watching, which I'm kind of interested in the overlap times that they might have on Monday nights, you know, digging into Tuesday, digging into Wednesday and doing all that and knowing that the basis behind it is probably gambling. And I'm worried about the oversaturation of the game and things like that. What are we headed down that road?
My sort of instinct would be no, not when it comes to the NFL. I don't see any indicators that tell me we're in a saturation period. Do I think it's ridiculous that they played every day of the week? Of course. I mean, one, it's like incredibly unplayer friendly.
Right.
Probably will create more injuries. But the American public, at least if they're betting on viewership, that's probably not the right term. If they're showing us their interest in television viewership, if they're showing us their interest in gambling, if they're showing us their interest in fantasy football, if they're showing us their interest in social media impressions, then no, I don't think the NFL has hit any kind of saturation point. In terms of the NFL and expanding days of the week, by the way, Friday would surprise me. It might be the only day that would surprise me just because of high school football, and the NFL is usually pretty smart about not getting that kind of bad PR to take away from high school football, which is very prominent in, you know, places like Texas, Florida, Ohio, et cetera. But it would absolutely not surprise me as we head forward in the universe to see Tuesday night football, more regularly Saturday night football. The reason for The reason for the expansion of all this stuff, I think, is less about gambling. Don't get me wrong, it's a factor. And more about the NFL now has more media rights holder partners than they've ever had before, with the addition, obviously, of Amazon, with ESPN wanting both ABC and ESPN to get inventory, with all these places like NBC having a streaming service like Peacock. So that's sort of what changed, is that the NFL has a lot more mouths to feed, and they want to try to give the best equitable possible schedule to all these different rights holder partners so that the money obviously continues to flow into the NFL's coffers. So that's why I think you've seen this change. People cannot underestimate how important it was to the NFL to get that additional week, you know, which they negotiated with the players in their last union deal. That was game-changing in terms of broadcast inventory. You've essentially added 15, 16 more windows now. You know, the wild card game, two additional massive primetime national windows. I mean, that's hundreds of millions of dollars in the NFL's pocket simply because of adding, you know, an extra week of games. So that to me is the reason. But undoubtedly, you know, gambling absolutely has added to the popularity of the sport. The legalization of gambling will add more to the sport. And, well, look, I have no problems with gambling. I mean, I think if states legalize it, I think it's cool by me. I will never find it more hilarious that the NFL, which moralized this stuff for how many years of our life and told us that, like, Las Vegas was truly the city of sin and we don't want to have any kind of connection with this because this is the third rail, they literally just jumped on the third rail and now they're eating at the trough, basically, because of all that gambling money.
Yeah, they're on the high-speed rail now. And baseball is the same. Yes, I think exactly. The same thing about right. Baseball,
they're,
too.
They're a 200-mile-an-hour French train, basically, if they're heading towards
this. All right, so let me throw this at you, because I always thought it was interesting when the Big Ten Network had this available, that when they went to the Big Ten Network and basketball, now all of a sudden you could watch every Big Ten game on national TV when they started that. And then it made me think about the NFL taking the next step where every NFL game with the possibility with new streaming partners and everything could have its own window where that you could play one game at a time. Would that be good for the game?
Well, that's a big commitment for viewers if you did it that way, right? I mean, right. There is, like, in theory, there is a limit because people have jobs and people have only so much.
Stop! You're kidding.
You know, free time at their deal. But here's my sort of my caveat. This is the one sport where you cannot use like conventional wisdom to sort of make predictions, because in the United States, as to me, as an entertainment product, right, a content product.
Right.
There's the National Football League, and there's everything else after that. I would even put the NFL above, like, Netflix as an entity, even though Netflix has far more subscribers than, quote-unquote, what the NFL might do in a week. Because Netflix, unlike the NFL, cannot guarantee, like, a community of 25, 30 million like-minded people to sit around whatever that is and watch a singular thing the way the NFL can. You know, whether it's going to be kickoff weekend or whether it'll be Thanksgiving. So, yeah, I mean, I don't expect that to happen just because I think that seems a little like sort of scheduling-wise to be tricky. But the one thing I will say about that league is they have a lot of smart people who are very, very smart when it comes to how to take all their assets and all their inventory and maximize it for the biggest possible audience. They have figured out the secret sauce, and some of that is because of our lust for football, but they have been able to take their inventory and make every single one of those games valuable. No other sports league in the United States does that. I mean, just the reality is, like, some February NHL game, some June MLB game somewhere, those are not valuable assets, but I can make the argument that every NFL game that gets played in some way is a valuable asset.
Richard, I found it interesting when the Browns schedule was released and you take a look at it, and I'm wondering your thoughts on this theory. Everything's a 1 o'clock game except for the obligatory Thursday night game, and there's a Monday night game. No Sunday night games. Everything at 1 o'clock, and there are a couple of TBDs down the road late in the season. Is that Deshaun Watson? Is that part of that factor that the NFL was thinking, you know what? This is unresolved. We don't know where it's going. He may not play. He may play. We don't know, but we don't want to put this whole issue front and center in front of a bigger television audience. Or does that have nothing to do with this?
No, I think the short answer is yes, it does. I don't know if the league would ever admit to that, or the schedule makers, who are very bright people, would ever admit to that. But Yes, I think that's absolutely a factor. They, you know, they have the teams that they know are going to be national draws that they obviously want to fit into as many national slots as possible. And those are teams that, you know, you come to expect. The Cowboys, the Packers, whatever team has, like, major stars at quarterback. So the Chiefs, the Bills, the Bucks,
Broncos,
you know, and sort of, you know, Russell Wilson now, obviously, yep, in Denver. So head down the list. So, you know, there are teams that that are more attractive than others, and I think for understandable reasons. They have viewership history on their side. The Browns are a tricky one here because, you know, there's probably an argument to be made that they're a playoff team, right? But there's also an argument to be made that maybe they're not, depending on what happens with Watson. And then finally, gets to your point, I don't know if they would admit this, but I absolutely think that has to be a factor. I don't think they want the Deshaun Watson-led Browns to be on, as you know, four national primetime televised games. Like, that's putting the league in not a good spot, depending on what happens with him. If he's there, you know, the announcers are forced to talk about it. If he's not there, the announcers are forced to talk about it. So, yes, I think, again, I don't know how much the league would admit to that, but I absolutely think when they're putting their, you know, 14,000 schedules sort of through that computer and that advanced stuff, I do think one of the calculations they use is to not put the Browns in the primetime spots that we have seen them in very, very recent vintage. Because to me, I consider the Browns a national team. You know, maybe others don't, but like historically, given just the historic nature of the franchise, given that over the last couple of years, you know, they have had a very, very exciting offense with a lot of playmakers. So, yeah, like to me, I look at the schedule that they have this year and my antenna is up. And I think there's a reason they didn't want to put them on national windows. And I think the reason is Deshaun Watson.
Richard, as always, thank you. You still in Toronto?
Still in Toronto.
Hanging
out the expat life, but the passport still says USA, baby.
Nice. There you go. All right, have some poutine on us. How's that sound? Send us the bill.
Will do.
We'll talk to you later.
Thank you, Richard.
Thank you so
always
much. Always appreciate it. Thanks. And, of course, Richard writes for The Athletic and has a podcast, so make sure you're checking all that stuff out. And I mean, the premier guy when it comes to media and covering media and when it comes to sports. And he was on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.